Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and today is Wednesday, November 20th, 2024, and we are continuing to read in the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. And today we're continuing on page 59, beginning with step 9, Made Direct Amends, ending in step 10 with Promptly Admitted It. Today's readers are Cara L., who will read the text, Luann C. will read A Vision for You, and Eileen M. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Betsy H., and Jody E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, November 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,925, 21925. And for Wednesday, November 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 21,927, 21927. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a that experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for your service today. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island in recovery, still writing, and welcome to everybody. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. I will now ask Justine F. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Justine.
Good morning, Susan. This is Justine F. in Oregon, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Justine. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. All right, today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter How It Works, which is on page 59. We're going to begin with step 9, Made Direct Amends, ending in step 10 with promptly admitted it. I'm getting tongue-tied. I will now ask Cara L. to start reading. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning. This is Cara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. 9, made a direct amends to such people where possible, except for when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Good morning, this is Cara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. 9 and 10 have been just the cornerstone of my program lately, especially 10. 9, you know, I'm still doing some, you know, I'm wrapping those up, finding people. But I will tell you, after I made that list in 8, and then I started out with the help of my sponsor, on 9, just the bridges that I had burned that were rebuilt. And I'm always fearful, and I'm always, you know, like, and to stick to a simple step 9 script that was provided for me and to write it out and to move through, it really took care of those, like, when things, those old shame memories would come up, and they would come up, you know, out of the blue, and then I would feel bad about something about myself. And once I had made those amends, that process for that particular memory would stop, and that was incredible. And step 10 today, I do them every day, all day long. And, you know, I have a variety of different kinds I do depending on the situation. I no longer create those shame memories that I sit in. When I do something, if I can fix it right in the way, or at least, you know, acknowledge it to the person, like, that wasn't my best self, and I am working, you know, and I want to do better, and I acknowledge that you didn't deserve that, it's such a huge thing in my relationships. And to sit, I wake up every morning and I just say, you know, if I wake up with a busy brain, because I do. I wake up sometimes with a busy brain and I need my quiet time. But the first thing I do is like, God, what inventories do you need me to write this morning? What needs to be looked at? Where's the onion that I'm peeling in this particular day? You know, and then I just move forward. And as things happen throughout the day, you know, I'm fearful. I am getting angry at work. It's time to slow down and look at it and make amends where I can, you know, or ask my higher power for help. Because I get busy and I forget. I don't know much, and my higher power knows all. And when I am trying to manipulate and fix my day, my first thing is to slow down and ask for help. And that's a step 10 for me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Cara L. in Long Beach, California. All right, so if you came in a few minutes into that, page 59, How It Works, we're discussing steps 9 and 10. So made direct amends, ending with promptly admitted it. All right, get this going. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if today is your third day, please can you give me your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from this morning? All right.
Wendy M.
Wendy, I got you. I got you, Wendy.
Rachel,
who was with Wendy? Rachel, thank you. Rachel, where are you calling from?
San Diego, California.
Fantastic, thank you.
Linda G., Alabama.
Ginger.
Linda G., I got you.
Ginger M.
Deborah L.
Ginger M., where are you from?
New York.
New York. And Deborah L., I heard you. Yes?
Yes, Arizona.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Would anybody else like to join this first lineup?
Linda G., Alabama.
I got you, Linda. I got you.
Oh,
no
great.
Problem.
Okay.
You're here. No worries. That's all good.
Yvonne A., BC, Canada.
Hi, Yvonne. All right, let's stop there for now. So here's who I have. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Rachel L., San Diego. Linda G. in Alabama. Ginger M. in New York. Deborah L. in Arizona. And Yvonne A. in British Columbia. BC, Canada, sorry. Okay, so would everybody other than Wendy please star one and mute themselves? And Wendy, please go ahead.
Great. Good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Susan, thank you so much for taking the meeting. It's great. Everybody on the line. And Kara L., thank you for your opening. Always great to hear you. All right, so I spent my life telling people I was sorry. I just did. And I didn't do it because I was actually sorry. I did it because I needed to keep an arm's length. And also, they still liked me regardless of my behavior, right? And when I got to this program and I did steps 9, and I do steps 9 and 10, it is a game changer, right? Because it's like looking at myself in the mirror and going, oh my God, I harm people. I have an effect on people, right? And step 9 is not about feeling good. I thought in the beginning, it's like, wow, that felt good. This is fun. Let's do some more. Because I thought people just liked me more because I was such a good person to do a step 9. And it's not that at all. It's about making things right, right? It's setting things back to where God would have it. And so, you know, an amends does not mean I'm sorry. Amends is change. It's how is Wendy going to change her behavior so that she is doing God's will, not Wendy's will, you know, and then step 10. I mean, I could talk forever on these. I'm sure we all could. I consider step 10 a shower on the inside. And what a relief that I get to talk to a 10-step partner every day and look at my own behavior. Because when I name that behavior, I get relief and I name the behavior, I get to be useful, right? Because the defects are getting in the way of my assignment, whatever my assignment from God is. And just the other day, this happens constantly, you guys, but I was like nasty to a pharmacist and it didn't take me more than a minute to go back up to her and say, I didn't say I'm sorry. I said, that behavior was not necessary. You are doing your job. You're doing a beautiful job. And I regret my behavior. I don't know the exact words. But the point is, anytime I'm like that, like inappropriate, and frankly, don't you know who I am to customer service people, anonymity on the phone, you know, where you can be a BI, you know, all of this, I call people back. Even there's thousands of people who work at whatever, Netflix, it doesn't matter. I call and make sure I get to the person that I was nasty to. And it happens instantly. God makes that possible, right? My selfishness will kill me. God makes that possible. So I have this inside job, this shower on the inside that says, pick up the phone or go to that person and make amends. And I do it because when I'm, you know, in Wendy, in self, in indulgence.
Time, Wendy.
I know to do it. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. in Colorado. Next, we are going to San Diego. Good morning, Rachel L.
Hi, Rachel L., compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. And I, you know, when I had to do my step 9, I literally sat there and go, well, I didn't steal money for food, or I didn't, you know, do any of that stuff. I didn't cheat on my husband. I didn't do any of that, so I didn't think I owed any amends to anybody. And my sponsor goes, no, you probably did something. You did something to someone. And I go, no, I'm perfect. I don't know what you're talking about. And she, you know, she just kind of laughed at me. And then when I had to sit down and actually think about everything, I was, you know, horrible to people over when I was in the food. I was mean. I was a, you know, big old B to everybody. And, you know, I did borrow money for food that I never paid back. I did, you know, go in people's, you know, cupboards and eat their food that was for their kids, you know. I did do stuff like that. So it was like I had to make amends for all of that kind of stuff. And just because I didn't think about all of that while I was doing it, I still did it. And then I love doing 10 steps because those things keep me out of jail, because I literally joke around and I say, you know, I'm absolutely just would stay from not punching people in the face, you know, because a 10 step, I can't overthink it anymore, because a 10 step literally, you know, explains everything from A to Z. It explains it all, you know. So I love doing 10 steps. I do at least one a day, you know. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Rachel L. in San Diego. Next, we're going to go to Alabama. Good morning, Linda G.
Good morning. I'm Linda G., a volume compulsive overeater, anorexic, and restrictor. And when I did my ninth step, when I do my ninth step, when I did my ninth step originally, I made one to my brother because I tormented him when we were kids, or so I thought. I thought I was just horrible to him. And when I talked to him about it, he laughed it off and said to me, no, that was just childhood pranks. That was no big deal. And I was relieved and amazed, because all this time, ever since we were kids, I've been carrying guilt about the way I treated him. And he didn't feel badly about it at all. And it was such a surprise to me. And I also wrote letters to my parents forgiving, and it enabled me to forgive them. But something came up in my 10th step, which I do at least one a day. And something came up in my 10th step that gave me more to work on. I haven't been able to figure out why after dinner I always feel like I need more food and I'm always anxious. And in my 10th step, what came up last night, that was when my father came home. And he was always yelling and angry, and he would eventually turn his anger on me. And my mother would side with him or be silent. And I would feel all unstrung, like I had nowhere to go. And I would eat second and third portions just to defer the punishment and to kill the pain. And I would end up crying in my room, and my father would yell upstairs, stop that crying or I'll give you something to cry about. And then as I got older, bad things always happened at night. That was when I felt my most anxiety. And now that the food is down, I'm able to see that, and I feel the feelings, and now I have a chunk to work on because I understand what those feelings are coming from, and I can read my literature and work my steps on this issue and hopefully tame it, if not get rid of it. But it will enable me to strengthen my abstinence and also strengthen my relationship with my higher power, because I need to turn to my higher power on everything, not just comfortable things. And this has shown me only my higher power can change this. And I have to work with him until he sees. Thank you. Until he sees such a time as to cure it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Linda G. Thank you, Linda G. in Alabama. Next, we have Ginger M. in New York. Hello, Ginger.
Hello. Thank you for your moderation. I think I'm unmuted. I'm
you are.
Recovering overeater. I've just started the program.
Please enter your extension. Press
and everyone make sure they're muted, please. Star one. Thank you.
I started the program 3 days ago. And I want to thank a couple of people. One whose name is Deborah, I believe, who every so often calls me and leaves me a lovely message to have a beautiful day. When you leave a message on my phone, the number doesn't come through, so I was never able to call her back. And there was another person who did that also, left a beautiful message. I want to thank them. Let's see. So I do struggle with, I guess I would call it arrogance, with customer service representatives. There was a time maybe a few months ago when I would apologize. But it's something that I'm working on. And the only thing that I can relate to with these steps right now is number nine. May direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So a number of years ago, I was in another program, and I ran into an ex-sister-in-law. And it took me probably around 35 or 40 years to realize my part in the breakup of my marriage. And I talked to her, and I asked her to relay a message, an amend to my ex-husband. She's very nice. We never had any problems in our relationship, and even after the divorce. And sorry, I'm really tired. She said he's very busy and she'll try, but he has these quirky things, like sometimes he just doesn't answer when people talk to him. And I ran into, so she said she would try, and I ran into her another time, and she said she tried, but he didn't respond. And so I understand this step nine from that
experience.
That it would have hurt him, and therefore my amend didn't go through. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ginger M. in New York. Next, we have Deborah L. in Arizona. Good morning, Deborah.
Hi, this is Deborah L. in Arizona, and I really wanted to share on this because for many, many years, well, there was an expression in 12-step programs called doing the steps off the wall, and I never really knew what that meant, and it just kind of really hit me a couple months ago. It dawned on me what it really means, it hit me again today when I read step 9 and 10 in the book on this, on page 59, that it means, you know, they have the 12 steps on the wall in a lot of meetings, and it's just doing the steps according to this little, you know, summary here. And the summary for step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. It really only gives like 2 of the 5 steps that we need to do for this step. And thanks to this meeting and many helpful sponsors along the way, I've realized that step 10 is those 5 steps. By tearing apart the paragraph little by little, we can see that we're supposed to do many more things than just admit when we're wrong. And I did that for many years. It's like, so the 5 steps are watch, ask, discuss, make amends, and then turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And I would watch, you know, I would realize when I acted poorly or something with somebody, and I would make amends, meaning I would apologize to them and I would try not to do it in the future. And I'd recognize that was bad behavior. But I was only doing those 2 things, which is watching for poor behavior and then saying I'm sorry or making the amends and doing my best. I didn't discuss it with anybody else. I didn't ask God to remove it. And I didn't turn my thoughts to somebody I can help. And I think over the years, it just caused all these, I don't know, emotions of fear and resentment and a lot of things to build up. And I had like a half measures program. And I feel like now that I really understand that the 10th step is a whole paragraph of things to do on page 84, I really try my best to do those 5 steps. And, you know, I do them every day also when things come up. Sometimes I don't recognize when I'm upset or when I have a resentment or fear. And it takes me sitting down and actually getting a piece of paper and writing, which typically isn't part of the 10th step. It's just something I need to do because of years of stuffing down feelings. I don't always recognize when I'm having a 10th step. But it's really turned my program around, and it's
that
allowed
time,
me.
That time, Deborah?
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks for letting me share.
Of course, Deborah L. in Arizona. Next, we have Yvonne A. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Susan, and thank you. Yes, this is Yvonne A. from British Columbia, Canada. Good morning, everybody. I just also wanted to share on this morning because step 9 is especially scary when you are just starting out. I remember hearing somebody else on this meeting sharing about a trip to a grocery store and having to make amends for food taken while they were shopping when I was pretty early on, and I thought, oh my gosh, I am going to have to do that too. And it was terrifying to think that I was going to have to take these steps. But it was an amazing thing to actually do and to go through. It wasn't that I wasn't afraid when the time came. I definitely had the fear. But that's where higher power comes in. I had to put my trust in higher power that these steps were what was going to get me to a place in my life where food was not ruling my every waking moment. And so when I went to that grocery store to make those amends, yes, I was very nervous. It was during COVID. The manager had to be called to the front. He took forever to get there. I had my mask on. I went through my whole spiel. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't think I understand what you're saying. And I was like, oh, boy. So I had to go through it all again. But the feeling after having done that, after having released it, and I wouldn't have even said that that was sitting on my heart, but it was in my heart, deep, you know, where we have that spiritual part of us that always lives.
I knew that was wrong. I knew I was continuing to do things that were hurtful to me, to my higher power, to this store, to the employees. And so getting that off of my chest and stopping the behavior was such an amazing thing. And so, yes, it's scary, but yes, the rewards of doing it. There's a reason they have step nine promises, and they absolutely have come to fruition in my life. And then I just wanted to say about being sorry. Yeah, I was the kind of person who would know I needed to say I was sorry. I would contemplate saying I was sorry, especially to my husband, all day. I'd think, okay, well, at dinner time when we sit down, then I'll say I'm sorry. And then I wouldn't do it. And at bread time, I'd say, okay, when we go into bed, I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't, for whatever reason, I could not choke those words out. And so I'd fall asleep. I'd sweep it under the carpet. Thank you. Get up the next morning and think, ah, it was no big deal. And that just built up. So thank you for letting me share. And I will pass with that.
Thank you so much. If you joined us in the middle of anything, we are on page 59. We're discussing steps 9 and 10. So if this is your third day to share, could you please unmute and give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning? We would love to hear from you.
Barry H.M., Washington.
Barry H.M. in Washington.
Diane in Philadelphia.
Was that Diane in Philadelphia?
Diana Y. in Philadelphia.
Diana Y. Thank you.
Jackie H. in Idaho.
Thank you, Jackie.
Can you
Janet
tell me the
Z page in LA?
Justine
what
J.
was the page?
Hold
number?
On 1 second. Who? Hold on, everybody. Who was in LA?
Janet Z.
Janet, good morning. And somebody asked where we were. We're discussing steps 9 and 10 on page 59. And then with
Thank
Janice,
you.
I think I heard another name.
Justine J. Tennessee.
Justine J. Tennessee. All right, let's stop there and see where we go with time. So I have Sherry H.M. in Washington, Diana Y. in Philadelphia, Jackie H. in Idaho, Janet Z. in Los Angeles, and Justine J. in Tennessee. So if everybody could mute other than Sherry H.M., Sherry, take it away. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C from Washington State. This is just such a gift. I used to not be able to figure out, you know, what was eating at me because I wasn't really in touch with my feelings, my emotions. Now I know it's the buildup of emotions that drives me into the arms of my refrigerator affair. So anyway, I used to have like a lot of resentment against my parents. And then, you know, I realized that the person that has the most power over me is the one that I won't forgive. And so with the help of my loving, wonderful God and some great therapy as well, I was able to see that my mom and dad, you know, they had severe PTSD as children. Of course they didn't know how to, you know, raise kids. Of course, you know, they had a lot of problems and, you know, had a lot of, it was a very shame-based family and all this. So anyway, by the help of this program, and I'm just so grateful, God's grace and mercy, that, you know, the scales were taken off my eyes. And I know a lot about trauma from my profession anyway. And so, you know, I just feel nothing but compassion and love for my parents. It's a huge gift. They're now 88 and almost 85. And I go over there every single day, and I don't have even one shred, not one little droplet of resentment against them. And if I did, that would be keeping me in the food. So thank you so much and have a great day. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry with a C, H.M. in Washington State. Next Diana Y. from Philadelphia. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. Boy, this is so perfect for me. Takes me back many years. I had a huge resentment against my sister. When we were young, we were, well, in our late teens, early 20s, we got to be very close. And after she got married, she changed and did some things that just devastated me. She did some things against me that devastated me. And I was told that I would need to forgive her and make amends for any part that I had in the situation. And, I wasn't going to be able to go any further in the program. And I remember saying, well, I guess I am not going any further in the program because there is no way that, you know, I'm going to forgive her. I had that resentment. And if I forgave her, it's like saying it was okay, all the things you did. And then somebody told me that you were not forgiving her for her. You're doing it for you, free. And holding the resentment inside you is going to keep you from growing any further. And that made sense to me. And I thought that if I made amends for my part or forgave her, that was allowing her to sort of get away with what she did. And that's not so at all. Once I became willing to let go of the resentment and the anger, I felt my whole body sort of tingle from my head to my toes, and a relief came over me. And I've never felt anything like that before. And I was relieved of the anger of the resentment. And that's not to say that we're best friends now, because I still do not like
that's
the
time,
person.
Diana.
Thank you. But I like how I feel. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Diana Y. in Philadelphia. Next, we have Jackie H. in Idaho. Thank you, Jackie.
Yeah, Susan, did you say Jackie?
Yes, I did.
Sorry, I was unmuting. So this is Jackie H. in Idaho. Ninth step, I'm right in that step. And I've done the ninth step, I don't know, a couple times. I've gone through the steps a couple times and still couldn't remain abstinent. This time around, I figured out that I just wasn't getting step one. But in this ninth step amends process that I'm doing right now, compared to when I've done it before, very, very specific. I mean, we got down to the nitty gritty of exactly what I did and naming exactly what I did. And so with my daughter, who happened to really suffer the consequences of my disease for many years, the amends for her is coming up. And of course, I'm waking with nightmares and anxiety and headaches. So I know that I need to make this amends. Have to give her a call today to set up the date and time. But, you know, I know that this is the stuff I'll eat over. This is the stuff that kept me out, the stuff that I did not want to name, the harms that I caused that I did not want to look at. I was ready to buy her love and her acceptance before I named what I did. And so this is a whole different game for me this time around, but I do not want to eat. So I am willing to trust God in this process. Yeah, so I just wanted to say that. And really, for me, this time around, it literally is like, okay, God, I trust you. Show me what to do. Show me what to say. You know, when do I say it? How do I say it? Even though it's written down, I still need to call upon my God to walk me through this. Because if it was up to me, I would just try to pass it by somehow. But again, I know that I will not stay sober and abstinent from a food sober abstinent if I don't do this, if I don't do these amends. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jackie H. in Idaho. Next, Janet Z. in Los Angeles, California. Janet, come on and join us.
Good morning, Susan, and everyone on the line. I think this is the first time I've actually shared here, but I've had such miracles in my life from a thorough step 9. The hardest amends for me to make were financial. And when I committed to a specific date and time to make those amends, the money had always shown up. And I have had my life, my financial life for sure, has completely turned around. And I'm, you know, the most prosperous I've ever been. But I didn't make the amends for cash and prizes. I made them because they were killing me, showing up in my dreams, haunting my waking hours, and God made it all possible. I just feel like the lightness of being that I have, and these were, you know, these were large amounts, and the people they were attached to forgave me and accepted my reparation. And so it wasn't just good enough to say I'm sorry, I needed to make the reparations. And I think that for me, the most important inventory that I did was about harms done, not about my resentments. Although I did do my 9th step, my steps on my resentments. I got those on a list and worked my way through those and found that forgiveness comes from a higher source. I don't have to force myself to forgive someone or something. I just ready myself and the forgiveness comes through, has been my experience. I just love this program. And the thing I feared the most, which was the 9th step when I was a newcomer, has turned out to be just an absolute key to my freedom. And that's what I have to share about it. And I will pass.
Thank you, Janet, so much. Next, we have Justine J. in Tennessee. Good morning, Justine.
Justine.
Good morning.
I got the name right.
Thank you.
I'm a compulsive overeater, and I started this program about a year ago. And since going through the steps, I've lost a significant amount of weight. And that doesn't matter because I've struggled with, you know, other sorts of issues when I had bulimia and I was thinner. It didn't matter. The weight doesn't matter. But the freedom is what I'm getting from doing step 9, all the steps, but step 9 and 10 are just so powerful for releasing the chains, the bondage of self. And I recently had an incident with my family, my sick family, my very spiritually sick people. And my response was,
I was not connecting with my higher power before dealing with the situation, and so I can see where I've caused a lot of harm, and I've been instructed not to make amends just because it won't be helpful to them right now. Step 9 is amazing. And step 10, so I also, about step 10, I haven't been able to sleep recently. You know, I go on the meetings. I haven't shared in a while. I'm supposed to be reaching the handout to the sponsor. I haven't really been doing that. But I haven't been able to sleep. My head has just been racing. My monkey mind is just going. I finally realized that I hadn't been really sitting down and writing the 10th step. So the other night, I'm just desperate for sleep. And so I write all of my fears. I just start writing. I get a pen to paper. I start writing my inventory, people that I'm kind of annoyed at, my fears. I had like 10 or 15 fears that I could just bust out. I was writing as fast as I could. I sat down and I got on my knees at the edge of my bed and I was praying, God, please remove my fear. Please remove my fear. Direct my attention to what you have me do. Praying for the people on my inventory, doing the step, surrendering all of that garbage to God and asking, what would you have me be? What is your will for me? How can I serve people in my life the way you want me to serve them? You know, take my selfishness, take my self-seekingness. And I cannot tell you, I slept like a baby, like a baby. I was in such a deep sleep. I was dreaming. I haven't dreamed in months. But it is so amazing how I had the tools. I wasn't using them. I get down to it. I use them, and I'm free. And I just was like the most restful sleep. I've been getting great sleep the last 2 nights. It's a miracle. So, anyway, thank you so much. I should have done it a long time ago, but thank you so much for all your beautiful shares. You haven't done
Thank it. You. I
love it.
Thank you so much, Justine J. in Tennessee. Who wants our last 2 minutes? First voice I hear.
I'll take
anybody?
It.
Anybody? Thank you. I heard a guy's voice.
Yeah, the guy's voice is Larry G. from California.
Go, Larry.
Thank you, Susan. And let me know when I get close, and I'll just shut up. Larry G. from California. I think there should be a warning label that is in the big book or in the AA 12x12 on step 8-9, and that would look something like this. Never, never, never go out and make an amends without, first of all, consulting with a 12-step member who has done this many times and has experience around it. Because there's situations that I would never send a sponsee out to make amends. For example, some sponsees, you know, egregious crimes were committed against them, crimes of gross inhumanity. In those kind of situations, they need to go and talk to their therapist. Or if, you know, one had an affair, you're not going to go out and make an amends. It may not only trigger the romance, but also the husband or wife and girlfriend become suspicious, you do more harm. So there is a great chapter on this. It's called Step 8-9 in the AA 12 and 12 that gives really better detail instructions. But I will just pass by saying this is where Bill sends us out in the world. We want to be very, very careful, and we want to work with people who can wisely guide us through this, as I have been wisely guided many, many times. With that, I pass, Susan.
Thank you so much. Perfect timing, Larry. And sorry, Annabelle, I do tomorrow. All right. We will now close with the reading. First of all, thank you. Thank you, Team Wednesday. Cara L., Luann C., Eileen M., Betsy H., Jody E., Joanne L., and Justine. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Luann C., will you please take us out and read a vision for you? Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. This is Luann C. in Boise, Idaho, recovered just for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.